So the scripture today is from John. It's chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe." So I called this message the Helper. And so what Jesus is telling them, so he's telling the disciples, so let's go. Who in here is a disciple? Everybody raises your hands. Okay. So he's telling us too. He's not just talking to them 2,000 years ago. He said, even though I'm not going to be physically with you, I'm going to leave this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, to be with us in all places at all times. And so this idea that the Holy Spirit will teach us things, but when we hear the word teach, we mostly think that we're going to learn stuff. And we are going to learn something, but we're going to learn the truth of God. It's not so much that we're going to get smarter in all we say and do. We'd like to do that each day, but the Spirit is there to give us what the truth of God is. Now, one of the things that you have to do in order to be able to hear and be led by that Spirit is to make sure that you don't think you know everything. That you've got to a point in your Christian life that you know everything. You could tell anybody anything about the book of the Bible. You could explain everything to them. You never want to get to that place, because the idea is that you're going to constantly learn. So I was reading an article in the paper today. It's by Shane Looper, and I enjoy his articles, and this one I thought particularly relates to this passage. He's talking about love, that God loves us. And he said God loves us every day, no matter what we're doing, whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether we're being a good person or a bad person, God loves us. Where I think this comes into play, he said, it isn't whether God loves us, it's whether we have done enough to develop a closer and closer relationship with God so that we feel that love. And that's what I think they're talking about here in the Holy Spirit, that we're going to become closer and closer as we learn more about God, that love that he has for us all the time, that's never unending, we recognize it, we see it, we feel it in our lives, because we're closer to him. So this idea is that the Holy Spirit's to remind us what Jesus says. And so I take this as kind to bring us back to the truth. Not our truth. That's the problem, I think, why people are so angry with each other now in the world, is that whatever we think that's the only truth. Well, sometimes truth is truth. Sometimes it's opinion. And we have to be able to get to the point where we can say, well, I'm not sure that's truth, but that's opinion. But I respect your opinion because I understand where it's coming from. Doesn't mean that we have to agree, but it doesn't mean we have to be angry with people all the time. That we don't have to be antagonistic towards each other all the time. That when somebody says something, if we disagree, we don't have to send back an email or a tweet or whatever we're doing today and tell them how stupid and wrong they are. We can sometimes just think, well, I never really thought of it that way. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I understand why they think that. The Holy Spirit is to guide us, to remind us what the true words are of Jesus, about how we're supposed to love each other as we would want to be loved ourselves, and how we're supposed to love our neighbors. And everybody is our neighbor. It's not just the people right around us. So they're doing a thing in Yorktown now. I know we don't talk about Yorktown a lot, but they're doing a thing in Yorktown where it's called, I don't remember, but it's about towns. And so they've got to Yorktown. So they interviewed about 10 different groups of people yesterday, and I was one of them. And he said, what if, he said, if you could do in one sentence why you like to live in Yorktown, what's special about Yorktown? And I told him, I said, it's a town where neighbors take care of neighbors. Now, I bet in Yorktown you could find a place that's not like that, but in the neighborhood I live in, the neighbors have taken care of each other. And so that's what I told him. Now, I don't know what the other groups, there were like four or five other groups in the hour I was there, but that love that God has for us, that we've talked about already today, that same love we're supposed to share with all of our neighbors. And since everybody is a neighbor, that means you should always be loving everybody. Now, I will admit that some people are easier to love than other people, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to love them. And the other thing this Holy Spirit's going to do is it's going to try to guide our conduct. It's going to try to make us the best person or people that we can be each and every single time and each and every single encounter. So I watched the boys on Friday. I got there later, had a few. It was really windy in Brownsburg on Friday. So windy, it blew down about a 50-foot tree across the road, which is the only way I really know how to get to my daughter's house to see the grandkids. So I had to ask Siri on the phone, who's a little snotty sometimes, by the by, when she's giving you directions and you don't follow them. And she told me, just go straight down the road. And I told her, there's a big tree in the road. I can't really do that. I tried to go a different way, and she kept trying to make me do a U-turn and go back the same way. Although she was trying to guide me, she did not do a very good job because for some reason she did not recognize the 50-foot tree and the two fire trucks in the middle of the road that were not going to let me go past. That's not the kind of guidance we're looking for here. We're looking to be guided and directed in what we say and do, whether it's our own personal things we do or the way we relate to people. And so as we allow God's love to come into us more and more, that guidance becomes easier for the Holy Spirit. And probably the best thing is, every once in a while, we need a little tap up against the side of the head to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Have you guys ever got tapped upside the head because you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing? See some nodding. Some children in the back go, yeah, that's happened to me. It happens to everybody because sometimes we don't do, and that Holy Spirit's to guide us and direct us in that. So in the scripture, Jesus speaks of a gift of peace. Now, for us, in the time we live in, we have a tendency to think of peace as an absence of violence. And that's really not what peace means. 2,000 years ago, that was not what peace meant. Peace meant that Jesus was wanting everything that could happen to all of us to be the best in the world, to make life the best it could be for us. So it's not necessarily that there wouldn't be trouble, but that there would be a peace that would make your life the best it could be. So think of everybody has a place that they either like to go or they want to go. They've either been there, haven't been there, but you have this vision of what it is, and it's peaceful and restful. That's kind of what this is about. This peace is that place, those things that make your life the best it can be. So if you're planting, it means all the planting equipment works just like it's supposed to. And when you have to go from field to field, the equipment folds up like it's supposed to. There's no cars or trucks in your way, and everything goes just great. And once you start, it rains just enough to settle the dust, but not so much that you can't plant. Okay? If you sow, it means you don't start sowing, and then all of a sudden you're almost done, but you realize you didn't have quite enough yarn. Or for me this week, so here's another COVID thing for you, I decided I was going to stain my fence. I have always used a semi-transparent stain. I've either got it from Norm's when Norm's was open or the PPG store. And I called them this week and I said, I would like 2 gallons of semi-transparent stain in a sepia brown color. And she said, we don't have any and I don't know when we're going to get any. There are thousands of gallons ordered and I have no idea when we're going to get the first one. So I've decided this week I'm not going to stain the fence. It seemed like a good idea when I was planning it, but since I can't get the stain I want, I guess I won't do that. Now, I'm not sure it's good that the stain's not there or bad, but it's just the way it worked out. So I'm going to go on and find something else to do this week. There wasn't any reason to get upset about it, and so I'm just going to roll with that until the stain comes in, and then I'm going to try to find some son-in-laws to do that for me. But that seems fair. You guys didn't like that joke, apparently. Okay, it's okay. I could use somebody else's son-in-laws. I don't have to use my own. Now, one of the things that he talks about in here is this going back to the father. And that's a little bit about what the children's story was and where they would be alone. Now, we had some families that we lifted up today in prayer because they've lost loved ones, and probably almost everyone in here has lost a loved one at one time or another. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to be sad when they're gone. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to miss them when they're gone. But part of us should be excited that they get to go back and be with the Father. If they've led a life, accepted God as their Savior, been open to God's Word and doing what needs to be done, then part of us should be happy for them that they're going to meet the Father. And so often we only think about the sadness for us because we miss them. And we don't think about their life going to heaven. I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. They're just afraid of him being gone from their presence because that's what they were used to. They're not excited about him being with the Father in heaven. And so for that, for us, just the same as it was for them, it's hard for us to lose someone in our life. We're going to miss them. We have a loneliness that bingo can't fill because we're used to that person being there. But we need to remember, be grateful in ways of them going to be with the Father. And so the other thing he's talking about here is this struggle, this constant battle with evil. And so last week when we had service, I don't think we knew about what had happened in Buffalo where the guy went into the grocery store and didn't come up in prayer. But there's almost not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't harm a person or a group of people. And I'm not talking about just in the United States someplace, just in our area of the United States. And we seem to have this constant, people just constantly harm each other. And we've talked about in prayers the last several weeks about the sin of evil and for God to change people's hearts, to make them better people. And it's this constant struggle. And so it's important for us that to remember that as Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't a defeat. One of the reasons his disciples, those disciples around him, those followers are so depressed at his death on the cross is because they were looking forward to him becoming this great leader and lead them in to a defeat of the Romans, where the Israel nation would be powerful and strong again. Now they missed the boat because they thought he was going to be this political leader, military leader. That's not what he was, but they felt like it was a defeat. So when we see them after the crucifixion, they're in the upper room all hunkered down because they think they're coming, the Romans or the Jewish leaders are coming for them next. But Jesus' death on the cross was not a defeat, but when he rises up from that tomb, it shows that conquest of evil, that evil could not bring him down. For us, the evil that's around us in the world, we need to be that same way. We cannot let those things that happen in the world that are bad make us feel defeated, like the world is never going to be a better place. We prayed for President Putin today because we know we have faith that God can change his heart as he did Paul's and make him a better person. We don't know how God's going to do that, but it doesn't keep us from praying for that to happen. When we have someone in our life that is leading a life that's going to lead to tragedy for them, whatever that is, whether an early death or prison or jail or life of unhappiness, whatever that is, we can pray for them every single day. And we have faith that that Holy Spirit that we're talking about here can overcome that evil and make them a different person. And so we don't want to become defeated. We don't want to read the paper, watch the news, and see what happens and it's all bad. When they were doing the video yesterday in Yorktown, the one guy is apparently pretty new to Ball State, and he was from Akron, Ohio. And he did local news there. And he said, we did, you know, good news stories, and we had to do bad news stories. He said, but we're closest to Cleveland. He said, the only time the Cleveland TV stations came down, it was when they had something bad to report. So he said, the people in Akron really weren't very open or very helpful to them, because they said the only reason they came down was to report something awful. And he said, the station I worked at, he said, not all of our news was good news, but he said, we tried to give good news and bad news both. And he said, people respected that. They knew that we weren't just trying to tell every bad thing that we could find, and that's how our news was going to be filled up. For us, we cannot let those bad things that happen in the world drag us down to where everything we think is going to be bad. There are so many great and wonderful things that happen in the world. Sometimes we have to go find them because they don't tell us very easily, but don't let ourselves be drugged down. Evil is going to lose in the end. Evil might win sometimes, but evil is not going to win overall. Christ showed us that when he was raised from the tomb. And part of being that raised from the tomb was vindication. So if you were a Jewish person 2,000 years ago, the only way that you could be crucified is that the Roman government had to find you guilty of whatever they found you guilty of. And the punishment had to be crucifixion. When we read through, as we're coming to the time of Easter, and the Jewish leaders are saying, you know, we really need to put an end to Christ's life because he's this rebel rouser and he's going to cause us problems, they do not have the power to do that. Only the Roman authorities have the power to do that. For a Jewish person 2,000 years ago, there was nothing more humiliating or shameful than being placed on a cross and dying that way. And one of the reasons it was so shameful and humiliating is it was going to take a really long time. You were really going to suffer. And you didn't die from hanging there. You died because you suffocated. Your body parts really just collapsed on your lungs and your heart, and you suffocated. And so it was just going to be a really long, when we see Christ, it was a matter of hours. Normally people would be there for days. And so it was just going to be this awful, humiliating, terrible way to die and to be punished. Jesus had gone to prayer and talked to God in prayer and said, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Is this how I'm supposed to give the people of the world, whether 2,000 years ago or today or people to come, this freedom from sin? Am I supposed to do this? And God's answer was yes. And although Jesus had the power to not die that way for all of us, he was obedient to God and did die that way for all of us. And so what he showed was not only obedience to God, but how much he loved all of us. How much he cared for all of us. That he would die that kind of death when he didn't have to, for all of us. People that weren't even born yet, not even in this world. And that death 2,000 years ago is still because of how much he loves us today. So when I was talking about Shane Looper, and when he talked about how much God loves us unconditionally. He said, sometimes I'm talking to people or listening to people and they say, if I'm a good person, I know God loves me. God loves you all the time, whether you're good or bad. You may not recognize it because you're being good or bad. God loves us all the time. Everybody say after me, God loves us. So no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're at the highest point or the lowest point, God loves you. God always loves us. He's always going to be with us. He is never going to turn away from us. We turn away from him sometimes. He never turns away from us. So what I want you to remember is, no matter where you're at in your life, whether it's the best times or the worst of times, just as I told the kids, you're never alone. You don't have to have bingo with you every moment of the day, because the Lord is with you every place you're at, every second of the day, no matter whether you think you're alone or whether you're with the most people in the world. God is always with us, and He loves us each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, let us not forget how much You love and care for us each and every day as we go out into a world that sometimes is harsh or difficult for us. Let Your love carry us through all obstacles. Let us not be brought down by those evil things around us, but let Your glory carry us to the heights You have in store for us. Amen.